Could we turn to our first hymn this morning? It's a hymn 97, found at the page 215. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men. My example is he. We'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
was really good singing. I wonder, did you notice something as you sang that hymn this morning? You sang the gospel message in its fullness. First one tells us about the virgin birth. First two tells us about the crucifixion at Calvary. First four tells us about the resurrection. And verse five tells us he's coming again. So you have sung the gospel message this morning, even before we started. What a wonderful hymn. That is one of my favorite hymns that we sang this morning. We couldn't sing a better hymn bringing the gospel message. Now as we come to meet this morning, let us come to pray and ask the Lord to speak to your heart as he spoke to my heart as I prepared this message. I remember Dr. Paisley used to say to me, "Tommy, when you're reading the scriptures, if anything jumps out at it, you make note and put it down." And this message that I'm bringing this morning, Psalm 18, one morning it was my reading, and I remember reading through, and four things jumped out and blessed my soul. And I pray this morning that as we listen to this word again, that the Lord will bless your soul. Ask the Lord to bless your soul. Maybe you're coming here this morning and you have a burden in your life. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you as God's servants have preached from this pulpit. You know you're not saved. You know you're not ready. But you know today you can come and trust him who to know his life eternal. Child of God, if God speaks to your heart as he spoke to my heart as I read this Psalm 18, I pray that you'll be blessed today and that you'll go home rejoicing from what you've heard this morning. Let's pray. After a couple of moments of silent prayer, let's come into the immediate presence of a holy God. He tells us to be still and know that I am God. O God, our Father in heaven, we come into your holy presence this Lord's Day morning through our Savior and through that precious shed blood. And Lord, we thank thee for what we have sang this morning. We thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that virgin birth. We thank thee, Lord, that he came into this world. He took on human flesh. But it was spotless, pure flesh. He was the spotless, pure Lamb of God. And Lord, we thank thee that he went to Calvary. The wrath of God that should have fell on me fell on him. He was his people's substitute. We thank thee, Lord, from that cry from the cross, finished, and salvation was complete. But Lord, we thank thee, he's not in the tomb today. We thank thee he is resurrected. We thank thee God the Father raised him from the dead. And he's sitting at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for his people. But best of all, we thank thee he's coming again. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, someday we'll see you face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Lord, as we come this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll bless the singing of the hymns, the reading of your precious word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts this morning. I pray that you'll encourage your people with the word of God. I pray that you'll speak to the unsaved, that they know that they need to be ready. Lord, I pray for those that are carrying burdens. We thank thee, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Lord, we thank thee for the Sunday school that has just gone into eternity. Lord, may that seed be buried in those young lives. And I pray that the boys and girls may come to know thee as Savior. Lord, I thank thee for a faithful Sunday school teacher that told me that I was a lost sinner on the way to a crisis eternally. Bless the Sunday school teachers. And Lord, undertake we pray. Lord, as we come to thee this morning, we would remember your servant, the Reverend McMillan, and the Reverend Crane and Alistair Hamilton out there in Nepal. Lord, I pray that you'll bless your servants. Lord, keep them safe. And Lord, I pray that you'll use them mightily. Lord, may they be a blessing to the people in Nepal. And may our brethren come home again rejoicing over bringing their sheaves with them. Lord, we pray today, everywhere where the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, where the men behind the desk are washed in the blood, laid liberally to their hands. Lord, we would remember the sick of this congregation that would love to be in this meeting today. Many of them are tuned in by sermon audio, but they'd love to be in the house of God. Lord, may they realize standing somewhere in the shadows they'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows they'll find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Lord, we think of those that have just gone through operations, those that have been at hospital. Lord, touch them. Raise them up again to their wanted health and strength. And Lord, may they see them back here in the service. Take complete control of the meeting. Hide man behind the cross. Lord, we haven't come to hear man speak. We've come to hear thee speak. And Lord, speak loudly, we pray. And we'll give thee all the praise. And we'll give thee all the glory. Amen. Our second hymn this morning is the hymn 427. The hymn 427. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls this Jesus. No, not one. We'll stand to sing again, please.
Oh,
This morning, could we turn to Psalm number 18? Psalm number 18, as I've already said, that this psalm one morning was my morning reading, and there was four things jumped out of this psalm that blessed my soul, and I want to leave them with you. We're reading down to verse 31 from the first verse. At the top of Psalm 18, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." First one, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured coals, were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherubim and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomforted them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward, thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God. As for God, his way is perfect. And we know the Lord will bless this reading of his own infallible word. I'm going to ask our brother to come and make the necessary announcements, please.
We welcome everyone to our morning service. And if you're a visitor with us, you're especially welcome. And we pray you'll have an enjoyable time. And we give a special welcome to our preacher this morning, Mr. Tommy Gilmore, an elder from our Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church in Belfast. The announcements for the rest of the week. Tonight, 6:30 p.m., the evening gospel service. Mr. Gilmore will again be the preacher and he'll also minister in song. We encourage you to come along and join with us. Monday, 10 a.m., the parent and toddler group in the church hall. 8 p.m., the ladies' meeting. Miss Margaret Russell will speak on our Sunday school program. Tuesday, 6:45 p.m., the children's bright hour in both the church and the band hall in Killaloe. Wednesday, 8 p.m., the prayer meeting and Bible study. The speaker will be Mr. Andrew Irwin, a second-year Whitfield student from the Lisburn Church. Friday, 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship. The speaker, Mr. Matthew Muldrew. Next Lord's Day, 23rd of October, 10:40 a.m., the Sunday School and Bible classes. 11:30 a.m., morning service. 6:30 p.m. evening service. There's a half hour of prayer before both services. Preacher at both services, Reverend Kevin McLeod, one of our retired ministers. The Reverend McLeod will testify at the evening service. The amount collected at last Wednesday's deputation meeting for the Reverend Uncle Alvarez Ferdinand came to £372.20. We thank everyone for their generosity. The latest editions of both the Let the Bible Speak quarterly and the Watching and Waiting magazines are in the porch. Please take your copy as you leave the service. These are all the announcements.
Thank you. Do thank our brother for those words of welcome. It's a real joy and a privilege to be with you this morning. I always look forward to come to Armagh, but I'd rather be down there sitting beside you than up here. But the Reverend McMillan and I both are in the mission board, and he asked me, would I be free to come along? And I love helping our brother. We have been friends for many, many years. And I just pray that the Lord will bless him in Nepal as he's out there with the Reverend Crane and also Alistair Hamilton. We're just going to sing one more hymn to change your position before we come to God's word. It's a hymn 311, 311, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. We'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
We read this morning in Psalm 18, the Bible says that God's way is perfect. God's way is perfect. Could we ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word this morning? O God, our Father in heaven, as we turn to your holy word this morning, Lord, hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Lord, I pray that this message will bless the souls of your people. And Lord, if there be one in our midst or tuned in this morning that knows you not as Savior, Lord, that he may come and trust thee, who to know is life eternal. Hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. For we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. The setting of this psalm is most helpful. It arose from David's heart in the time of piercing trial. Saul had lost out with God, and David had been nominated as the new king in his presence. Saul's jealousy knew no bounds. He determined to destroy David. In his deep trial, David turned to God. We read in Psalm 18 and verse 6, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Brothers and sisters, here this morning, we see David in great difficulties. Here we see David as a praying man, and God was found to be a prayer-hearing God. You know, brothers and sisters, the greater difficulties that we are in, that lie in the way of deliverance, the more glorious the deliverance is. God will not only deliver his people out of their troubles in due time, but he will sustain them and bear them up under their troubles in the meantime. We read in verse 1, that David said, "I will love the Lord my strength." He knew the right person to turn to. David didn't turn to the church. David didn't turn to some religious organization of the day. He turned to the God of heaven, who he knew. He said, "I will love thee, O Lord my strength." Psalm 18 is a wonderful psalm about the life of David. And in it, we also have the truth of what our Savior has done for David. And child of God, he can also do for you and me. David came through many battles. He came through many trials. But the results were good, as God never let him down. And always saw him through, no matter what the problem was. He trusted in his Lord. We can have the same results as David if we simply turn our problems, if we simply turn our weariness, if we simply turn over to the Lord. The old hymn says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because We do not carry everything to God in prayer. If we just put our faith in Him for all things, whether they be big or small, there is nothing too hard for our Lord. God always watched over David, and he overcame through the Lord. Child of God, the Lord also watches over you. In this incoming week, when the trials come, when the temptations come, when the devil attacks you, take this home with you this morning, that God watches over you just like David. You know, in Psalm 18, verse 30 to 32, we read this. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. I want you to notice the expression in verse 30. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. God speaks of my way. He also speaks of His way. This is where the great battle in the Christian's life, when the old man wants to go his way and he doesn't want to go God's way. You know, the old man wants to go his way, but not God's way. When his way becomes my way, not only is his way perfect, then my way becomes perfect as I accept his way. His way is perfect. That's easy to say when we're on the mountaintop. When we have no troubles, when we have no temptations, when we're on the mountaintop. It's easy to say His way is perfect when we're down in the valley. But you know, my friend, His way is perfect whether we're in the mountaintop or whether we're down in the valley. His way is perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. The Lord is working in our lives, working in your life, child of God, working in my life, to transform us, so that we might come to believe and trust in Him, and so that we might declare that God, that I want the Lord's way, not my way. I want us, first of all, this morning, to consider that David could say in Psalm 18, 1-3, that God delivers. David could say that God delivers. We read, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. David says that God is strength. David says that God is a rock. David says that God is a fortress. David says that God is a buckler. David says that God is a horn and a high tower. But you know, David could say that He is a deliverer. But you know, God is not just this. I want you to notice the personal pronoun. David could say He is my strength. He could say He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my buckler. He is my horn and my high tower. You know, child of God, as a child of God, you can also say He is my strength. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my buckler and my horn and my high tower. But praise God, as a child of God, you can say He is my deliverer. Do you remember that day that He delivered you from your sin? Do you remember the day that you realized that you were a guilty hell deserving sinner and you were heading to a place, the Christless hell? He delivered you from it. Oh, you can say this morning that God is my deliverer. David is running to the rock. He is fleeing to the rock. He flees to the deliverer. He fights in God's strength. He flees to God as his high tower. You know, King Saul hated David, and he wanted to kill David. And not only did Saul want to kill him, his own son Absalom was after him. And you know, the Lord ran, or this man ran, David ran. And he knew who to run to, because we read in verse 17, he said, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me." David was running to the deliverer. You know, child of God, we can also be delivered from the things of this whole world, from temptations and all. We can come to the Lord. My favorite psalm is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And David was in a time of trouble. These men were after his life, and he turned to the only person they could turn to. God is our refuge and strength. Oh, friend, in this incoming week, when you feel that everything is upon you, that you're under a real attack, run to the Savior. He can deliver you. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting this morning and you're saying to me, "Tommy, I would love to become a Christian. I would love to become a Christian. But you know, the sins in my life, I can't get delivered from them. The sins of my life are gripping me. I can't get delivered from them." You know, there's a verse, there's a little hymn in our hymn book, and it says about the Lord Jesus, "He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest plain. His blood avails for me." I lifted a little book over the last month, and it told a story of a preacher who was traveling on a plane over to the United States to have great gospel meetings. He was sitting reading his Bible, and there was a businessman sitting beside him. And the businessman said, "Sir, that's a beautiful book you're reading. What is that book?" And the preacher said, "It's my Bible." And he said, "What business are you in?" And he said, "I'm going to America to preach the gospel all around America." The businessman said, "Could I look at that book? I've never had a Bible in my hand before." The preacher said, "You certainly can." The preacher was reading Revelation 20, where the great white throne judgment for the men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation. The man read down and he said, "Sir, can you be delivered? What is this about? This great white throne judgment, who is this person who's judging?" And the preacher said, "It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you read in the scriptures, the Lord says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." And he said, "The judge is the Lord Jesus." And he says, "Who are these people, great and small?" The preacher said, "These are men and women who have sat through gospel missions, have heard their loved ones praying for them, and have listened to God's people pleading with them to get saved, and they haven't had their sins dealt with under the blood. This is the judgment of men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation." The American said, "Can I get delivered from this?" The preacher said, "You certainly can." He says, "Because the Bible says, 'For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.'" The preacher went on to say, "For God so loved the world." He said, "My friend, that's the greatest ever love that has come into the world, that God loved this whole world, that he gave his only begotten son." He said, "That's the greatest ever gift At Christmas time, we love to give gifts, but the greatest gift was that God gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said that's the greatest ever salvation. The man said, can I get saved now? The preacher said, you certainly can. And he had the joy of leading him to the Savior. You know, he said, is that me delivered from this? He says, you certainly are. You're a child of God. You've got deliverance. He said, I'd love a Bible. Preacher said, take mine. But what are you going to do? I'll get one in America. Many months later, the preacher came home. And his wife said, there's a lot of mail for you, but there's one with an American stamp, and I'm sure you want to see it. He opened it up, and it was from the man who he led to the Lord. And he said, preacher, I just want to tell you that my whole family has got deliverance from the great white throne judgment. I was able to lead them to the Lord through your Bible. Oh, friend, this morning, child of God, we have deliverance. David could say he was delivered. You know, you this morning who are not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can get deliverance from your sin. Just come and trust the Savior. Daniel got deliverance in the den of lions. Remember Billy Sunday said that he put his head down on the lion's mane, and he had the best sleep ever. You know, praise God, we can say with David that our God delivers. But you know, the Bible also tells us in verse 19 that our God delights. Our God delights. In verse 19, David could say, he delivered me because he delighted in me. The Bible here tells us that God delighted in David. And you know, I wondered about that. Because do you remember how David sinned against God? Do you remember how he took Bathsheba and had a child with that woman? Do you remember how he took her husband and fed him with drink and then sent him with a letter so that he would be put at the front of the battle and lose his life? David thought he was covering up his sin. But you know, God's servant came one day, and God's servant talked about the poor man's lamb. And you know, David, in all his wrath, said that man will be dealt with. But God's servant said, David, you are the man. You are the man. And you know, that was like a dagger into his heart. We read in Psalm 51, and now we see why God delights in David. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out all my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. But listen what he said. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, friends, that's why God delighted in David. Because David repented from his sin. And the only way that you can get the delight of God in your life is if you have had sin dealt with. Child of God, take this home with you this morning. If you're walking in God's perfect way, the Lord delights in you. Verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. even as a father, the son in whom he delights. You know, as a father delights in his children, God delights in you and me. You know, I have three children. And when they were little children, I had two boys and a girl. And there's times they would come to me and they would say, "Dad, can we go here? Or Dad, can I have this?" And there's times I would have to look and say, "I'm sorry, you can't go there." Or, "I'm sorry, you can't have this," because I knew that it wasn't good for them. And you know, child of God, it wasn't because I didn't love my children that I stopped them. If it was a good thing, I let them go. If it was a good thing to help them, I let them go. But the reason I stopped them was because I did love them. And you know, child of God, you may be praying for something that you think is good. But the God in heaven knows what's good for you. He knows what's good for me. And he might say, "No, that's not for you." It's not because he doesn't delight on you. It's because he loves you. It's because he delights in you that he would stop that thing coming into your life. You know, the amazing thing is not that I love God. The amazing thing is that God loves me. Some today may feel low with burdens and trials and problems that come. I read the story the other day about a man called John Muir. And John Muir worked in Glasgow. He would go around the ships as they would come into the Glasgow harbour, and he would visit the sailors and bring the gospel message. One day he entered into this ship and he said to the captain, "Can I speak to your crew?" The captain said, "I'm sorry, sir. The crew are all on shore leave." He says, "But there's one thing that you could do. We have a young man in the local hospital. Would you go and see him?" John Muir said, "I certainly will." He made his way to the hospital and he found out where the young man was. And he started to talk to him and asked him where he was from. And then he started to present the gospel to the young man. He saw the tears coming into the young man's eyes. And he said, "Sir, my parents were believers. And I ran away to sea because they were praying for me to get saved." And he says, "Sir, I have so many burdens in my life. I have so many wicked sins in my life." John Muir started to tell him about the story of Pilgrim's Progress. And he also told about his own life, the burdens that he had, and how they rolled away. The young man said to John Muir, "Could you give me some time of my own?" Mr. Muir went round other patients, and when he came back, there was a smile in the young man's face. And he said to the young man, "Well, where's your burden?" He says, "It's gone, sir. I've asked the Lord into my life." That night, John Muir went back to his house. And as he sat down, these words came into his mind. "Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see. Every heartache and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." That man moved to Canada. And one time, the Reverend Dr. Stanley Barnes was over in our Canadian church. And Mr. McLennan said, "Stanley, would you like to go and meet John Muir?" And both of them went to meet John Muir. And Mr. Barnes told me, he said, "I said to John Muir, is that story right?" And he says, "It's right." He said, "That young man, the burdens were gone. And God gave me that wonderful hymn that's been used so mightily." You know, it's great to know that our God delights. We have seen our God delivers. Our God delights. I want us finally this morning to see our God directs. Our God directs. David could say in verse 21, "For I have kept the way of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God." He said in verse 30, "The word of the Lord is tried." That could be translated as "the word of the Lord is proved." David said, "I have kept God's word." God directs us through his word. If you want God to direct you, he will direct you, your life through his statutes, through his word. We read in Proverbs 14 and 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." That way, that is why there are so many weak Christians today. That is why there are so many backsliders, because they're on the wrong path. They need to get back onto God's path. Child of God, if you want a blessing from God in your life, you need to get on this right path. If you want a blessing in your church, you need to be on the right path. If you want a blessing in your family where God will answer prayer and bless your family, you need to be on this path. Do you want his way, child of God, to be your way? Then yield to God what he wants for your life. Sadly, too many Christians want to go their way rather than God's way. I was thinking this morning of Jonah. Jonah was directed by God to go to Nineveh. He wanted his life his way. He didn't want to go God's way to Nineveh. He wanted to go his own way, the way of disobedience. But praise God, the word of the Lord came the second time to Jonah, and he got on the right road. O child of God, our prayer should be, I want his way to be my way. I want to be yielded to him. I want God's way to be my way. He directs us the path I go. We should pray, "Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Just in closing, I read the other day about two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were on the wrong way. They were going out of Jerusalem. Both of them were downhearted. They had just seen the Savior crucified. They'd seen him put into the tomb, and they just were in a daze as they walked along. They didn't realize when the Savior started to walk with them, they were in such a state. But what happened when he started to talk to them? They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us by the way?" And after the Savior had spoken to them and showed that he was alive, they done a about turn and went back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that he is arisen. Oh, friend, this morning, it's great to know that our God delivers. He delights in me, and he directs my path. When my wife died, I was given this little poem. A preacher one day at his wife's grave read out this little poem. "My father's way may twist and turn. My heart might throw an ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still, I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may be that day will never break, I'll put my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Though all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake." Child of God, take this home with you this morning. Our God delivers. Our God delights. Our God directs, and our God's way is perfect. The one that blessed my soul the most, these are the bits, these are the ones that I told you jumped out and blessed my soul, that our God delivers. But the one that really blessed me is to think that the God, the God of heaven delights in me. And he also directs, and his way is perfect. I pray the Lord will bless this message to your heart this morning. And if you're in the meeting without Christ or tuned in, he can deliver you from the sins. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing the hymn 625. 625. What a friend. This is my favorite hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We'll stand to sing, please. Thank thee, Lord, we can say with that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless this word this morning. Lord, may your people go home knowing that our God delivers, that our God delights, and that our God directs, and God's way is perfect. Lord, keep us on that perfect path until we see thee face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Now spread thy covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and at our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace. Amen.